Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the newly expanded version of What Does the Word Say? A production of DMC Ministries, where we teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope, download the app from the Apple Store or the Android Play Store, follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today we're going to continue our series in the book of John, and I am really, really excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us today. And if you'd like to be part of our conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. As always, it is my pleasure to introduce my co-host, my partner in crime, if you will, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri from God's Kingdom Gatherers Ministries in Chesterfield, Virginia. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, amen. I am just so excited. I don't know what to do with myself.
Hallelujah. Brother, that is the best place to be in.
Give us the advertisement for the church.
Yes, sir. We are continuing to meet on Hall Street. It's the address is 3076 Hall Street Road. We are meeting every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m., sharing and breaking the bread of life, brother. The word.
Well, let me encourage you, if you're in that area, if you're close by, it would behoove you to stop by and take advantage of that, because it is a tremendous service. And he does such a good job, as you know, on this show, of rightly dividing the word of truth. And so if you want to get more of it, then I would suggest that you take advantage of that. Well, Pastor, this morning, I am just really, really excited about what God's doing. And we're going to get into John chapter 15. Now, yes. as far as John goes, between yes. John chapter 1 and John chapter 15, those are probably about my two most favorite chapters in the book of John.
I believe so, brother.
Yeah, and today we're going to be talking about the vine and the branches. And yes. I want you to go ahead and give us a prayer, and then I want to kind of see if I can set this thing up to help people understand a little bit more. Go ahead and give us a prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such a wonderful opportunity. Lord, we thank you for the technology that you've given us that we can reach the whole world, Lord God, from this one simple, humble dwelling, so Father. We want to thank you for your word. And today we are so excited because we're talking about the vine, oh Heavenly Father. We pray that Holy Spirit Spirit, open the ears of the listeners, Lord God. Prepare their hearts, Lord God, to receive this word. And Father, I trust you. We trust you today with my brother. As this word is going forth, Lord, there are hearings, there are deliverances that are going to be experienced, not only on the live broadcast, Lord, but those also that will log in online, Lord, they'll receive hearing, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity, Lord God, to be in your presence, sharing your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue to teach us your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, brother. That was awesome. We certainly do appreciate that. And I can feel the Holy Spirit in the house. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Of course, he never leaves, so that's a good thing. We don't have to usher him in and usher him out. He just kind of hangs around here, so praise God.
Amen.
In John chapter 1, when we started this series in the book of John, you know, God was establishing his sovereignty and explaining exactly who and what he was. Because John chapter 1, of course, says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the Word was light, and the light was the life unto men. And nothing was created that wasn't created by him, and everything that was created by him. And so we have established that, you know, throughout the book of John, that Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. And yet they have three different ministries or three different, what's a good word to use, manifestations, if you will, three different responsibilities. But they all work together to bring glory and honor to God. And so we've also established that it's imperative for us to read the word and study the word to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we eliminate, you know, any confusion, any misrepresentation, any false doctrines. And because there's a lot of stuff going on out here today that if you listen to it, you know, some of it actually makes sense. But when you compare it up against the word, it will never, ever, ever pass the litmus test of being valid. And so we want to make sure that you understand that you are chosen by God. You have been selected from before the beginning of time. And my daughter and I had a very interesting conversation last night. And her comment or her question that she asked me, it never, I mean, I've heard it before and I've answered it before, but it really, really, really hit me last night when she said, well, you know, what difference does it make if we're going to do exactly what God wants us to do? You know, we might as well be robots. Now, have you ever had anybody ask you that question?
I've never had, brother. That's an interesting one.
That's an interesting question, isn't it? Because it says we were predestined from before the beginning of time. He knows everything we're going to do from before we take our first breath. I mean, so it really is a valid and a legitimate question. And so I pondered on that because I wanted to make sure that I didn't do like a lot of Christians do and just say, well, that's just the way it is. Although that really is just the way it is. But in explaining the Bible to people, you have to be very cautious of the terminology and the phraseology that you use. You have to be able to make it real and make them understand exactly what it is that you're talking. So I told her, I said, I can see how you can think that. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that, but you have to go to Romans 12, 1 and 2 and renew your mind by the washing of the water of the word. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you have to change your mind, okay?
Right.
And she said, she came back and said, well, that still sounds like I'm just going to be a robot. And I'm going, no, you have to listen to what I'm telling you. In the renewal process of your mind, when you renew your mind, you literally change your mind so that you begin to think about things as God thinks about things. You begin to look at things from his perspective and not your perspective, because your perspective is limited by the physical environment that you're in.
Right.
And so, you know, it's intimidated sometimes. It's influenced sometimes by your bills, by the hardships of life, by relationships, by all of those things. And that is not the way it's supposed to be. This whole deal, and Pastor, you correct me if I'm wrong, this
right.
whole deal operates. The only reason that it operates is because of faith. If we
That's
don't
true.
Have faith, then this thing's not going to work. Would you agree?
I agree. Yes, I agree. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's not about the quantity of faith, because the Bible says even if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed in the world, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and that sucker's got to get up and go. You know, it's not about the amount, because the disciples said, Lord, give us more faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, you don't need more faith. You need to exercise what it is that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said all of that to get to the point today of mm-hmm. why I think this chapter 15 in the book of John, is so critically important to the body of Christ, because we are talking about today an intimate, defined, purposeful relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and us. And if you really want to accomplish what the Scripture advocates for us in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, by being not conformed, but being transformed, having your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, beginning to meditate on those things that are good, that are lovely, that are priceless, that are beautiful, which is the Word of God and the Kingdom of Heaven. If you really want to get to the point where you're doing what we talked about, I think it was last week, about or week before, about living heaven on earth, okay?
Right.
Then there is no way, in my humble but totally accurate opinion, that you can do that without having an intimate personal relationship with God. Would you agree?
I would agree 100%. And like you're talking about faith, that faith has to do with, you know, everything that you've shared with. And I recalled on, I believe it was last Tuesday, when you shared with me Hebrews chapter 4, but I was looking at chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So as you said, if you take away the faith, then all that remains is nothing. It's just that. It doesn't make any sense, because that's how we communicate. I remember one time I was sharing the word and the Holy Spirit brought this to my attention. That was in the 90s, back home, 1990s. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me that faith is kind of like the currency. I mean, you and I have traveled to Uganda. Can you imagine we come with our Ugandan shillings in America and we are saying, oh, I'm going to buy a bottle of soda. How much does it cost? Well, it costs this much dollars. And all I tell, you know, somebody at the register is that this is the currency I have. It's the Ugandan currency shilling. You look at me like, do you have sense? And this is exactly what happens in the kingdom of God. Faith is like our currency. So if you don't have it, you might as well say, well, I'm not going to get what I should have gotten. So faith is very important, brother. I agree with you on that.
Well, I think when you have not, I guess the correct word that I'm looking for, it has not, have not exercised that faith, have not matured your faith, then it's very difficult. Things like, you know, that robot syndrome and all of that, you know, that really does become something that can play a role in your life. And it's difficult. It's difficult to get beyond that, because when you understand the whole concept of faith, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're
that's
really
right.
talking about, you know, for most people, that's an abstract concept, and yet for us who believe and who have exercised our faith and understand that, It is a very concrete fact, okay?
That's right.
It's just like Peter, when Jesus told him on the water, he said, come. He says, bid me to come, Father, and Jesus said, come. And so when he stepped out of that boat, exercising his, he was full of faith, okay? When he exercised his faith and put his foot down on that water and began to walk across that water, you know, it was like that water had changed consistency to concrete, okay? And so he was able to walk across that to a point where the storms of life and the wind blew and all these things came in and began to shake his faith, and then he began to sink, okay? So we know that story. But that's the whole thing about faith, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Everything that God did and has done or is doing is done by faith.
That's right.
And so we have to be ever diligent, if you will, to make sure that we don't lose sight of that. Because when you lose sight of that, then you open yourself up for all kinds of attacks from the enemy. Praise God.
Praise God.
I want to go ahead and get started because we done spent about 7 or 8 minutes, and we haven't even read one verse of scripture yet. But I just think it's important for people to understand that this chapter, you know, and I have a book that we'll probably refer to next week called The Secrets of the Vine. It's by David Wilkerson. We'll probably refer to some stuff in there because it has some really good insights into it. But this chapter can be very cryptic because I've heard people teach this and really teach it from a standpoint of just glossing over it. And I'm telling you right now, we're not going to get through all of this material in chapter 15 today. We're going to dig into this and go wherever the Holy Spirit wants us to go, because I'm telling you, this is when you look at this with your spiritual eyes, you are talking about such an intimate relationship that I don't think there's very few places in the Bible that really get into this kind of detail about the intimacy of our relationship with God. Amen.
Correct. Amen. I agree with you.
Again, I don't profess to be the expert theologian and all that kind of stuff. And if you find something that contradicts what I'm saying, then please feel free to correct me. And if you're listening on this broadcast or now or later, and you find something that you think that you disagree with what I'm saying, then please let us know, because we are open to learn, and we will certainly take whatever you have to say under consideration. And if it proves, then we will certainly broadcast that. So give us an email at dmc@dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339 and let us know what you think about what we're talking about today. Praise God.
Praise God.
Whew. Are you ready, my brother? Is your seatbelt tightened?
My brother, it's not tightened. I wanted to bring in a scripture, but then I want to get to Genesis, because as you talk about the robot point, I was looking at how much do we miss on knowing, as you talk about the relationship, knowing God, because in my mind, I'm still picturing this scripture, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I'll just read it briefly, then we'll move on.
It says,
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Mm. And man became a living soul. And brother, I kind of picture that probably we miss having this relationship or creating it and maintaining it, because the very breath that we have is from him. And when you look at Ephesians, when Paul was explaining this to the church of Ephesus, where he says, we were dead in our sins, and the word dead there is kind of, to me, kind of a reference to separation, just like when you look at a dead body, you know, wherever, in the funeral home, whatever it could be, you know, or in the hospital, somebody has just died, you realize there is a separation, life has been separated from this body. And so for for someone to think that, you know, God can turn into a robot, you've missed on Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, because he is the one that breathed in the breath of life, brother. But I won't diverge from where we're going, because I know, looking at the vine, I know we're going to be looking at the very life, brother.
Well, no. Don't say that. We need to talk about that because here's the thing. And this is so very vital. Oh my God, the Holy Ghost is up in this place.
It's
so very vital for us to understand that the very breath of life that we have is not from us or anybody else.
It's all about God.
See? And so when you look at that from that perspective, and you accept that by faith, see, because you don't have any way of looking back at the process of how that happened and making a rational determination based on logic, based on science, based on whatever, you're incapable of doing that. Okay,
that's right. Mm.
And so in order to acquire those characteristics of eternal life by the breath of the Holy Spirit, you've got to accept it on faith. Okay,
exactly.
You have to. It's because it's not something tangible that you can see, and so
that's
therefore
right.
You have to believe it by faith. But here's the thing: when you get to the vine, which we're getting ready to start talking about, I promise. Okay. But when you get ready to talk about the vine, you have to have already accepted the fact that he breathed life into you, that you have a relationship with him. And then when you look in chapter 15 at the vine, if you will, that is his desire, his determination, his plan on how to maintain that relationship.
That's now, right.
Now, when a farmer goes out to a field and plants corn, you know, he doesn't just say, okay, I'm done, I'll see you next year. You know, he's got to fertilize that corn. He's got to water that corn, you know.
That's right.
And then as the stalks start to come up, you know, he has to walk through there and just make sure that everything is going exactly the way it's supposed to. And then at the end of the appropriate time, then he can stick in the sickle for the harvest. But then after that, that's not the end of the process.
That's right.
He then has to re-prepare that ground for the next planting, if you will, or for the next next season of that field's life, okay, and get it ready for the next crop that's going to come. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's try to get through a couple of these verses here anyway, okay?
Yeah, let's try.
John chapter 15, verse 1. No, but you got to see, brother, you're absolutely correct. If you don't understand that fact, okay?
That's right. Mm.
Then it makes this very difficult to comprehend.
Exactly.
Okay? So we've established that God is the reason we're here. He's
exactly
the one that breathed that breath of life into man, which began, that was the Genesis, that began the ability to procreate, if you will. And
that's
so
right.
All of that, every breath that we take directly relates back to Adam and the first breath that he took by the Holy Spirit being breathed into him. Hallelujah. All right.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me – well, let's stop right there. I mean, that's only one verse, but we need to break this thing down.
We definitely, brother.
He's telling the disciples – this is Jesus talking, okay? And if you have one of those Bibles that has red, guess what? This is in red. And he said, I am the true vine – and my Father is the vineyard keeper. In the Amplified Bible, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Hallelujah. In verse one of the Message Bible that says, I am the real vine and my Father is the farmer. Hallelujah. Mm. Okay. And so we understand, you know, what that hierarchy is, okay? Mm-hmm. So in verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Now, in the Amplified Bible, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every mm-hmm. branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. In the Message Bible, it says, it says, he cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give us your thoughts on that.
Brother, before I do that, let me read it in King James here. It says, most especially a verse that says, every branch in me. Now, let's establish that. It says, every branch in me. In who? In Jesus. And, of course, the background here is Jesus is having his last, we would say, precious moments before he goes to Gethsemane, before the cross and all that. And so he's preparing the disciples, and I can picture him walking in this garden, explaining to the disciples how the Father in heaven is the vine dresser. And what I'm looking at here in verse 8, every branch in me, so we establish that, and it says, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And we need to note that, in me, and then taketh or take away. And then again he says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then we will look at, in me, take away, then purging. And there's a picture that I got, brother, and I believe we'll have to get to that book, because the listeners will get a full picture of the vine dresser and the vine itself, and how much the husbandman, or the one that tends the vine treasurably, values each and every branch. And this is the picture. When I read this book, the man of God explains that when a farmer goes into the garden and he looks at these vines, of course, we know that these vines are supposed to be held up, let's say, on a stick, or it could be a metal that has been built. And that's why it's very important where we started off with a robot. I know the Holy Spirit has a reason why. You will never find a vine holding itself. It will always, at all times, it is to bear fruit, more fruit or much fruit. It has to be on a stick. Let me not use a stick because that's too small. Or it has to be on a pole. I think that would be the right word. The pole that has been elevated or that has been firmly rooted in the ground, whereby it begins to coil over, so to stand. So the picture I got when I read this book is the husbandman, or the one that tends the vine, looks at these vines from the bottom. And when he sees the branch that has come down, because he values every branch, he's going to come up with a bucket of water. And, of course, that talks about the word of God, as we shall be seeing it in the verse where Jesus said, now ye are clean. There is a spiritual truth there. The branch or the vine itself can't stand on its own. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own except I see my Father do. Same thing like we saw. He breathed the breath of life in us, Genesis 2:7. We can do nothing when we are separated from God. Just like the vine, if it's separated from this post or the pole that has been already firmly rooted in the ground, then it's going to fall down. So the picture here that I see in verse 2 is the branch is down. So the farmer or the husbandman or the vine dresser comes with a bucket, and he has a towel such that when these branches fall on the ground, and I saw this in Africa, the dust begins to collect around them. And when the dust collects around them, they can't bear fruit. So what happens, he begins to purge, to wash the vine, the branch that has been on the ground, and then he's going to take it away and put it back on the post. And when he puts it back on the post, then it's going to get the sunlight, kind of beaming up, or sun rays beaming upon it, in that it begins to produce fruit. And that's why it's very important where Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And the only original that I had to find, which is equivalent to that, is in Isaiah 53, where it says, he took away our sins. He took away the pain. So that taking away, because he values so much the branch, he has to purge it or wash it, dries it, lifts it up or takes it away such that it joins the other branches that have been receiving sunlight, because when it's underneath, it doesn't get the sunlight, and with the dust on it, it cannot bear fruit. And when I looked at that dust, man was created, from the ground or from the dust, the works of the flesh, it's the word that is going to purge us. But we'll continue on with that, brother. I just wanted to create that picture.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct, and I certainly do appreciate that, because that's a very valid and descriptive narrative, if you will, of this current situation. A lot of farmers use trellises, okay, which is a network, if you will, of post and then either wood or some sort of a connecting piece that goes between those posts to keep that stuff off the ground. That's right. kind of indicative, if you will, of why we need to read our word every day, so we won't be ending up down in the dirt.
Yes.
Now let me pull a Godfreyism here on you. If you go back to the Genesis chapter 3, where God prophesied over Satan. He told him, he says, you will crawl on your belly like a reptile, okay, and eat of the dust of the ground.
Come on. Brother,
so
go for that word.
I submit to you that if he's going to be eating of the dust of the ground, then that's a place that we don't want our fruit to be, because then he's going to have a free lunch.
Oh, Jesus.
Excuse me. The other thing is, what are we made of?
Come on.
We're made of dust, okay?
We're made of dust.
So if he's crawling around here, and that's why God said, everything is under his feet. His heel will bruise your head, and his head will bruise your heel, okay? So that's why we have to make sure that by maintaining this relationship, that we're able to keep him in his proper place down there on the ground under our feet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that was right on time. That was good. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, verse 3. We're rocking at the speed of fright today, okay?
Yes, sir.
Verse 3 said, well, and here's the whole thing. He says the reason he does that and the reason he prunes us is so that we can produce more fruit, okay?
Right.
And so that's he's looking at us not only to produce fruit after our own kind, but the volume of fruit is important. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right. Verse number 3 says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, I want to stop right there, because that's a very, very, very important verse. Okay. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So now when you look in the Amplified Bible, it says you are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Hallelujah. And the Message Bible says you are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Glory be to God. Give us a little insight on that.
Yes, brother. In fact, as we're looking at the previous verse, of course, we're seeing the branch being washed and chipped and taken away. So this is, in essence, the very spiritual truth I believe Jesus wanted to come up with. He said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. And of course, if we can look back in chapter 13 of John, we saw that Peter was asking Jesus, he says, Master, you don't only wash my feet. If you look at John chapter 13 and verse 10, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Verse 11, it says, for ye know who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. Here again, we see the word, the importance of the word. Another scripture that I can leave with our listeners is Ephesians, if they will look at it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. We know what it talks about. Let me read it to our listeners. Ephesians 5:26. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. He's talking about the church with the washing of the water by the word. Here we see the importance of the word, brother, that it's the one to wash us away. Like you said, we are created from the dust, and God breathes the breath of life. And as you talked about Genesis chapter 3, the enemy, Satan, symbol, of course, symbolized by the serpent or the snake, crawls looking for the dust. What is going to help us here as branches is the washing of the water that will wash away the dust. Just like when the branch is down, dust begins to gather round about it. The only way that dust could be taken off is when the vine dresser comes, wipe off the dust, wipe the branch, and take it away back to where it's supposed to stand. So this is the importance of the word. If we are to be delivered from the enemy's attack, seeking to bite the dust, the word has to be in place, brother, to wash us.
Wow. Isn't it amazing all of the different characteristics of what the word will do for you?
Brother, it's so amazing. Yes, it is.
And yet we have people that won't even pick up the Bible and read it. Hallelujah. All right, verse 4. Here's another piece of this, and it really is absolutely essential. Remain in me, and I in you, and just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Now, how do we do that? How do we remain in him? Well, we remain in him by reading our Bible, by studying our Bible, by being a good student of the word, studying to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth, believing what the word says, committing the word to memory, committing the word to our vocabulary, begin to speak the word. When you speak the word, because you are a speaking spirit, then your word goes out and accomplishes that which is meant to accomplish and does not return unto you void. Hallelujah. Now, we already know that that works for him, but because we're in him, when you're in him, then you begin to acquire the characteristics of that relationship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's just like you and I. If you hang around me long enough, you may start to develop a twang in that Ugandan accent you've got.
That's right. That's very true.
And so, I mean, you know, this is what's so important. I tell people all the time, in the next 2 to 5 years, you will be what you read and who you hang around.
I
choose not to hang around those people that are going to hinder my relationship with God.
That's true.
And I'm not going to read a bunch of junk. I just heard the other day on the news that Playboy is finally taking out the pictures out of their magazine. Well, wow. Isn't that mighty nice of them?
Praise God.
Now if all they need to do is replace those with Bible verses, and we'll be good to go. Hallelujah. We might get somebody saved over there at the Hefner Mansion. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Praise God.
But I want you to be able to see that remaining in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce that fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's take another side trip here and go to Moses. In Exodus, when Moses sent Joshua and Caleb as the other 10, I think he sent 12 people. 10 or 12, I forget, whatever. It doesn't really make that much difference. But when he sent a group of people to spy out the promised land, when they went over there, they saw, they saw giants, obviously, but they saw a land of fruit and honey, of milk and honey.
Uh-huh.
And they brought back one clump of grapes, okay? It took two of them having it strung up to a pole to carry between them, and they brought back some figs and pomegranates and all that kind of stuff. And so it was obvious, and this is something that we need to understand. When you remain in him and he remains in you, okay, then there is no choice but for him to bless you. Oh, come on now. I'm not talking about pie in the sky. Everybody's going to have a Mercedes in the driveway. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the more that you remain in him and he remains in you, then you put a responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility on God to bless you, to take care of you, to meet all of your needs. Okay? But all of that, has been perverted by the enemy into name it, claim it doctrine, into the prosperity extraordinaire message, okay, and to the lie that all you got to do is ask God for anything and he'll give it to you. Now, even though that's what the word says, but you have to understand that is a promise that is not given to everybody.
That's right.
That promise is given to those who do what? Who abide in him and him in them. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Okay? Because you will not be, and because that's a lot of people use that as a manifestation of the fruit of their life. I don't, because all that stuff is really irrelevant. The fruit of my life is how many people do I get saved? How many people do I help minister to? How many people do I affect change in their life? How many of them do I get to understand, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? How many of them understand John 3:16? God's not mad at you. He loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son that all you had to do was just believe by faith.
That's
and
right.
You would not die but have everlasting life. How many people do I get to do that? Okay? That's where the fruit is coming from. Hallelujah. We'll get into probably next time about what Wilkerson talks about, the no fruit, much fruit, some fruit, more fruit baskets. That's
more fruit. That's right, yeah.
All right, but so we want to remain on the vine so that we can produce fruit. Hallelujah. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine. Now, this is Jesus talking to the disciples. This is Jesus talking to you, okay? I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Hallelujah. So you're kind of looking at two ends of the spectrum there, okay? You're looking at doing nothing or you're doing something, okay? In verse 5, let's see what they do with that, verse 5. Come on now, Dwayne, where's verse 5? Okay, here it is. In the Amplified says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Now, see, that's essential right there. Okay,
that's right.
It's a vital union. Now let me give you a natural example. When a baby is in utero, okay, the lifeline of that child is the umbilical cord. Okay,
that's right.
And that's how they survive. That's how they eat. That's how they dispose of waste. All of that stuff is going on in that umbilical cord. Now, there's a condition called preeclampsia, where that cord gets pinched, and then there's trouble for the baby. Okay,
right.
That baby is only going to go into distress, and so that's when a lot of times they have to do C-sections. The other thing is that cord can be hung up around their legs and appendages and what have you, and sometimes you can take care of that, but other times again it results in a C-section. But the point is, that is the lifeline for that child. If the child somehow becomes unconnected to the mother by the umbilical cord, then that child is going to die. And that's exactly what we do. If we become, it's a vital union. I love that word right there. Vital, those two words, vital union. If we become separated from God or somehow lose our zeal and enthusiasm to maintain that relationship, then we're going to be like, just like the grapes, we're going to wither and die. There's no way without his support that we can survive. Hallelujah.
Exactly.
In the Message Bible, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate, let's see, wait a minute, and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Let me read that again. I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, oh my God, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Go ahead and take off on that one for a minute.
Brother, I was looking at your reading, verse 5, where it says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches, he that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And I was looking at, I'm picturing a tree. Can you imagine if the branch is separated from the vine, the stem, it's going to dry out. And I had a reflection of John chapter 6, because I know we looked at it, but now it begins to add up with this chapter 15. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus says, it is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And it takes us back where we started, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Man was created from the dust and God breathed the breath of life. So how are we going to continue to abide? How are we going to produce more fruit, as we saw it in the previous verses, much fruit? We have to remain in the Word, because the Word itself is life. Jesus said, the Word that I speak unto you is spirit and it's life. So how are we going to get disconnected? How are we going to lose our fellowship? The moment we ignore the Word, which is Jesus himself, life himself, then we cannot bear any fruit.
Well, then he also says in John chapter 1, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light unto men.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
So if you ever want to truly affect change in somebody's, and what happens when light comes to a plant? Well, when light, and I'm not talking about spiritual light, because we're talking about natural light. But when natural light hits a plant, then photosynthesis occurs, and that there begins to be an exchange, if you will, because of the heat of the light, and that plant begins to grow, and it starts sucking moisture out of the soil where it's added nutrients and what have you, and it will continue to grow, but it has to have that heat. Well, it's the same thing with us. We have to have the heat of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the heat of God, because God is a flaming fire, according to what the Word says. And Ezekiel or Isaiah, one of the two of them, said that when he looked into heaven, he saw God as a flaming fire. Okay? And so, you know, why should we think that, that God used those words to inspire those writers if it wasn't exactly what he saw?
Praise Jesus. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you.
You
know what I mean?
Hallelujah.
So we have to understand that, you know, if we become separated for some reason, then our time is not going to be good. It's not going to be productive.
That's right.
In verse 6, it says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, now we've got this down straight. Ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory be to God. So I want to stop there today as far as the verses. We got about 8 minutes. Let's go back to verse 6, and I want to read that in the Message Bible. It says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers and dies, and they gather such branches and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. What words?
Hallelujah.
The Word, the Bible, okay, remains in you. Then that is, if you are vitally united and my message lives in your heart, which is your head submitted to the Spirit, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified and honored by this when you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my true disciples. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I want to read this in the Message Bible because I just love the way this thing reads. It says, when you're joined with me and I with you, the relationship or the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up, thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
So it talks about, you know, you reading your word, but then you also have to make a place for that word inside of you. Oh, my goodness gracious. So we go right back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 10, which is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you have to replace the old stuff that you have in you, you know, with the new stuff, and that's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
That's right. And I had also, you know, I'm getting so many pictures as you share the word. Like you said, if the sun doesn't enlighten on the plant, cannot make food its food for the synthesis. And the scriptures are so clear. You look at Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, but unto you that fear my name, he's talking to us that fear his name, shall the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he is compared to the sun. And of course, now we are looking at the natural point of view that no plant, no tree can make fruit unless the sun comes and lights its rays on the leaves. Then the tree can begin to have the process of making food. How about looking also at Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Here we see that the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, he is the Word himself. So if you ignore the Word, you are going to be separated. And every time, I know in Africa they don't experience this, for those who are listening online or the listening to the broadcast thereafter, you can miss the picture. But in America, the season that we are getting into, the plants, the trees are beginning to lose their leaves, they're drying up because the sun will be less. And it appears to me that in the spirit, if you're not very careful and ignore the word, the light, the sun, Jesus Christ, we cannot bear fruit. And that's where drying begins to appear.
Yeah, I think you hit something on the head on that one.
Yes, brother.
So would you say that it's possible then for us to go through dry seasons in our life?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, but most of the time that's by choice, not by circumstance.
That's by choice, yes. I believe that's by choice.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. So there is much more that we need to discuss about this, because there
that's
is...
Right.
This is, again, I think it really is indicative of our relationship with God, and I think there is much more that we need to learn. So next week we're going to continue. We'll stop right there at verse 8, but we'll continue with this discussion. And I want to bring in that book, Secrets of the Mind by David Wilkerson. It's absolutely a fabulous book. And it really does bring some insight. He talks about the four baskets of fruit. And I'll give just a little bit of a preview here, since we got just a few minutes left. He talks about the fact that when most Christians get started, they have a basket of no fruit, because they haven't really done anything to generate fruit. But then you begin to get saved, and things start to grow, and then you'll get into the basket of some fruit. And then, man, I tell you, you get to rolling, and there's a lot of people that are stuck in the basket of more fruit, but they really haven't come to that intimate place where they can be in the basket of much fruit, and that's fruit that endures forever. And so we'll talk about that next week, and we'll make sure that we have plenty of references there so that you can validate and verify that in fact, is true. And so we want to thank you today for being part of our broadcast. And remind you that next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we'll be back here to do this again and continue in our study of the book of John. So if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or check us out on our website at dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. And until next Tuesday, be blessed and let the Spirit reign.